Council Finance, please come to order. It is 9:41 on the 29th of March, 2012. Members present, Representative Newman, Representative Costello, Representative Dugan, Co-Chair Thomas, Stoltz, Vice Chair Fairclough, Representative Guerra, Representative Wilson, and Representative Jewell. And our adjunct member, who is here almost as much as the rest of us, is actually here with the bill today, House Bill 290. So if there's not anything anybody wants to bring up before we start, we'll invite Representative Osterman for House Bill 290.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for House Bill 290, CRNA, 27-LS1094-E before the committee.
Hearing no objection, that's the bill from the previous committee. Will be before us for our consideration. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committees of the members of the committee for hearing HB 290 this morning. HB 290 is, in real simple terms, an effort to create what we call community foundations that will have a funding source in a permanent fund type pot of money that they can then turn around and spend the interest earnings off of it and do good in the community, whether it's donating to a nonprofit or whether it's working to help a new library be built or whatever that foundation decides is the best use of the money within the community. By creating the foundations, I think in the long term will take some of the pressure off of the local governments to fund nonprofits, and that's one of the things that I'm really interested in is having served on the Borough Assembly for 8 years and having every year dealt with the requests from nonprofits across the board for funding sources. And so with this type of a foundation, we may be able to get past some of that and create a fund that would do this type of thing. So the in the efforts to create the foundation, this bill basically sets up a challenge grant type program. With this program, if you fund it after you pass the bill, that would allow up to $25,000 challenge, so the community foundation or community could put together a foundation, gather their own $25,000, and then would be as part of the challenge, and then would be matched by this grant program. So I'm going to have my staff, Aaron, walk through the bill for you real quick, and then we can get into questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Erin Harrington. I'm Staff Representative Osterman. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for inviting us up here to talk about this bill today. So House Bill 290 establishes the Endow Alaska Grant Program, which, as Representative Osterman described, sets up a challenge grant mechanism that allows local community foundations throughout Alaska to leverage private donations from within their communities by matching the donors' contributions dollar for dollar with state funds. By providing this powerful tool to help grow the endowed assets of community foundations, the Endow Alaska program addresses several objectives. One, it supports the long-range community self-sufficiency as these endowed funds, endowed and permanent funds, grow in the community foundations. It also recognizes the ability of community members to identify and respond to local needs. It thirdly creates a catalyst for community conversations about philanthropy and the power of Alaskans to invest in meaningful local projects and visions. And fourth, it creates an opportunity to take today's state dollars, which, as we are very aware, result from the development of a finite, non-renewable resource, and turn them into a financial tool that can yield perpetual returns and potentially support local projects and investments for centuries to come. Endow Alaska, the concept that we bring before you today, is inspired by a program that was originally put in place in Iowa, which was called Endow Iowa, and has since been established in Kentucky as well, creatively called Endow Kentucky. The legislation envisions a relationship between the state and the lead philanthropic entity, a statewide organization that receives an annual lump sum grant and then turns around and provides numerous challenge grants to local community foundations or community affiliate funds. Mr. Chairman, if I may, in the course of becoming familiar with this bill and this concept, we've been learning a lot of new terms and new language and new concepts about the difference between community foundations and community affiliate funds and statewide community foundations. And I just invite you all to interrupt me at any point if that gets confusing, and I will also try to revisit it in the course of the discussion to help clarify.
Is this kind of like the United Way plan, so you give once so nobody bothers you for the rest of the year?
I suppose it's an approach. So, presently in Alaska, the organization most likely to qualify as the lead philanthropic entity, as defined in the piece of legislation before you, would be the Alaska Community Foundation. And, of course, on this committee, you're very familiar with that organization because last year you worked to move the Alaska Children's Trust over into their permanent holding. I believe representatives from the Alaska Community Foundation are online today, but you'll probably remember that it is a statewide community foundation with more than 250 funds in management, and I believe they have now more than $50 million in assets in those various funds. In the example, I think that kind of helps demonstrate, we do not have a Kodiak Community Foundation, we definitely would love to have one, and there's a community conversation going on about that. But I'll use the example of the non-existent Kodiak Community Foundation because it's neutral. So in this example, the state would provide through the Endow Alaska Grants Program annually, if it so chose, if the legislature so chose, an appropriation to the lead philanthropic entity. And for now, we'll assume that that would be the Alaska Community Foundation. The Alaska Community Foundation, the lead philanthropic entity, would then be able to turn around and offer to the Kodiak Community Foundation and other community foundations around the state the opportunity to apply, come to them and say, for example, we think that we can do a $15,000 campaign in our community this year to fund our endowment, to raise the value of our endowment, and we'd like the opportunity to be matched with $15,000 of state funds. And then if our citizens went out and successfully raised $15,000 from within the community, and then they would meet that eligibility requirement and be able to receive those funds, which would go into a permanently endowed fund. These are not dollars that are meant to be spent annually, and I think that that's a really important distinction between this and many of the other grant programs that the state offers. It's meant to build a permanent endowment, our permanent fund, much smaller, so that it spins off money for the future. The bill does not currently recommend or have written into it any kind of funding level, although it does provide some funding limitations to ensure that community investments are made in diverse regions of the state. And then, of course, because it's a matching or challenge grant program, it's necessarily going to be constrained by the ability of communities to actually do fundraising. So if we ever reached the point where communities were individually around the state of Alaska raising $5 million toward endowed funds in a given year, we'd be in a wonderful position. But I think it's unlikely that we'll be there anytime soon. And we actually, I believe, have online people from the Rasmussen Foundation to talk about a similar initiative that they've been running. And it operates on a much, much smaller scale. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd go ahead and walk you through the bill quickly.
Please. And we have the amendment from Representative Dugan to allow for tax credits.
Oh, I forgot.
Please go ahead, Ms. Harrington.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, starting on page 1 of 290, we have the CNRA version before us. The first section, 4433150, establishes the program, the grant program within the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and it specifies in here that the purpose of this is to grow the endowed funds of foundations around Alaska. The next section talks about the requirements for lead philanthropic entities and grant recipients. Mr. Chairman, there is language in here that describes essentially an organization that looks like the Alaska Community Foundation. And I would like to note on the record that that is intentional. Before we brought this legislation forward this year, we had conversations with lead philanthropic groups around the state about who would be the best organization to execute a program of this sort. And there was pretty broad agreement that the Alaska Community Foundation would be a good fit. So I do want to be clear that it is sort of describing them in this language. Then Section 4433.170 talks about the ranking of applications and the award of grants. And this section is designed to provide some range in geography and also to make sure that we're funding community foundations in regions that really need the financial assistance where it can do great good. And it also specifies, Mr. Chairman, if you look at line 25, that in order to be eligible to receive these funds, these community foundations must be matching at least a ratio of 1-to-1 for the dollars that they would be receiving from the state. So there's skin in the game in this program as it's envisioned here. The following section, 4433.180, starting on line 30, provides the limitations on grant amounts and on administrative overhead for the lead philanthropic entity. If you look at the top of page 3 on line 1, you'll see that these are not to exceed $25,000 annually. Again, it's just to underline the modest scope of the program that's being envisioned here. And it specifies that only 5% of the grant funds received by the lead philanthropic entity, the LPE, could be used for administrative purposes. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, Section 4433.190 provides the definitions both for a community foundation and a community foundation affiliate. And if I may, for a moment, just describe the difference between those two kinds of organizations.
You may.
Thank you. So a community foundation is an independently organized nonprofit entity whose purpose is to provide to build up an endowed fund and provide grants and other support to organizations around their region or their service area. A community foundation affiliate is a sub-fund within a community foundation. And I'll use the example of the Alaska Community Foundation, which is a large community foundation, and within it has a number of community foundation affiliates, including a community foundation affiliate for Petersburg, one for Seward. And the difference between these is that the community foundation affiliates have the superstructure of the community foundation, which provides the fiscal oversight, the fiduciary roles. It does the grants administration, but at the local level, the foundation affiliate has a local board that does the fundraising, that participates in the community at the local level, and importantly helps decide what the priorities are for the community for grant making, once they eventually have enough funds to be spinning off money to be making grants.
Okay. Representative Faircliff has a question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's back up a little bit. On page 2, under the ranking of application and awards of grants, line 17, it appears that the opportunity to establish a new community foundations or community foundation affiliates may allow a department who's prioritizing the use of available grant funds, if it were to pass, to bypass a fair amount of communities in the effort to have new communities come on board. And while I think that that is a noble goal, some of the community foundations that are listed may be fledgling and just starting and may truly need at the same rate the of importance or the degree of importance some matching dollars to do that. So I'm just wondering if that's the explicit intent, then I'm not sure. Since my community, which is a small community of 35,000 inside of a larger community, that I like that. In advocating specifically for that geography, understanding that my commitment is to the state as a whole, I want to make sure that my community that has had a foundation for a few years and is out there trying to raise money has equal footing in trying to have access of state dollars if this were to pass to be able to match that. And so then the second point that I would make is that can communities come back more than once? And I think that they can. Maybe communities across the region should have equal opportunity first before people can come back a second time. So I'm not sure how we do that, if there's an active challenge grant program in one community over another. Certainly an urban community may have more opportunity than smaller communities to get up to get the money from the state. And so for me, if there's money available for a program in the state, it would be nice if there is equal access for our rural community as well as an urban entity to try to do that.
And I have a follow-up question. Being part of that 35,000 in part of my district, I think Chugiak might want to have a separate identity because we've probably, by headcount, generate a lot more fundraising than the larger community, and maybe we might find that it's too Eagle River centric. I mean, that's within that, and it's not a small community. It's larger than Juneau. We have three senators that people always ask where Chugiak is, and that shame on them. But by the same token, the Mat-Su, everything doesn't exist out of downtown Palmer, where the borough headquarters are, or the downtown Wasilla, vibrant communities throughout Talkeetna, part of the Mat-Su borough. I think a lot of questions spinning, and I was looking at my colleague, the Talkeetna, probably dollar for dollar, might be more energetic than downtown Palmer, as the Butte or Lazy Mountain might. It depends on the community activities. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll did Representative Faircloth get her answers then? Okay. To the chair, Representative Osterman or staff. Again, I look at section 2, I guess, on page 2, on the ranking of the applications and the need for financial assistance. There's a lot of communities that are well organized. You know, Juneau, you know, that have the ability to have members of their community that go out and try and get grants from other communities. How would a lead philanthropic entity or this organization, or I don't know, maybe the Department of Commerce, decide when you're looking at other communities that aren't maybe as sophisticated, for lack of other words, a rural village, mine village, say, you know, that may try and have more needs, but they just don't have the ability in the organization. It's harder for them to get matching money. I mean, there's just not the money in those communities to do that. How do we make sure that this treats all communities in Alaska equally that way? That's a big concern of mine.
Representative Newman, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to respond to Representative Faircloth's question first? Or
I want you to take them all, and then we'll catch up to Representative Newman.
All right.
And
Representative Newman, if I may, I'll just start with Representative Faircloth's question to go in the order I have here. So, Representative Faircloth, you asked, does it prohibit a community to come back in a future year? And you're right, it does not, as it's currently written. And second, on your question about line 17 and 18, the opportunity to establish new community foundations or community foundation affiliates. My boss can pipe in here, but I think that it is meant to be inclusive, and that's certainly a policy call. And if you feel that that's not an appropriate way to describe this, it's definitely a policy call.
Mr. Chairman. This is in there for a specific reason, and that is the concept behind this is not necessarily just to fill up the coffers of the existing groups or entities that have this type of a foundation. It's to actually spread it across Alaska and get people engaged and talking about it and try to get other community organizations going so that we can have it. This does not particularly exclude anybody from applying. It's just one of the criteria that included in this whole gamut of ranking. And so it doesn't say that it has to be a new foundation or a new community. It's just one of the things that they will consider as they go through the process. And, yes, I'd like to see more and more of these type of foundations across the state and smaller communities. In reference to Representative Newman's comments of how we get there, hopefully this is a challenge grant, and hopefully we'll challenge the communities to step forward, and that's the objective here, rather than trying to put, you know, we can go to a 75% or 25% match type thing if you want to, for those communities that can't get into it. that's not my objective here. My objective is actually make the community stand up and be responsible and create their own foundations.
Back to your point, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Osterman, the section is titled Ranking of the Applications, and so my point is that if you have a higher ranking because you're new and there's a very small one that has a small foundation that's already started and is trying to go out there and get community and individuals participating, that the way that this is ranked right now, specific to my community, because I see their name on the list, if my community members are willing to step up right now, a community that didn't have it, like Peters Creek isn't named, or Birchwood. So Chugiak is actually at least part of the header if you're only looking at the title as far as the geography that a foundation may be accurately or inaccurately saying that they're representing, because they're just because my community council is saying Chugiak Eagle River, someone in Chugiak might not think that they're doing their bidding, so they may create suggest to create a new foundation with a different name. And so I'm just wondering if they're the policy call is, should the priority be given to new, or should we define new in any way? I guess that's the policy call. Is new, and what does new look like?
And I'd just like to state, I've been a donor to that Chugiak River Foundation. Those have been hypothetical questions. I wasn't taking a shot at them, but those are just as examples, somebody I knew, and I probably will be donating again this year, but just for that. Representative Austin.
Thank you. Representative Faircloth, I agree with you that we need to look at it all, and I'm not trying to diminish that. I'm just saying that the initial intent was to try to get organizations started across the state. There's on line 11, the end of line 11, it talks about shall. If it makes you more comfortable, we could put may in there, and it doesn't totally tie it in.
Okay, we have Representative Dugan and then Garrett, and we're going to stop there so we make sure we get our public testimony in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that I understand this ranking system. In ranking, do we mean that one is more important than two, and two is more important than three, and so it would be sort of a weighted system according to the numbers that are listed here?
Representative Dugan, through the chair, it is not intended to be that way. If you spent a little bit of time with the legislation, as I have been able to, one thing that you see emerge is that when these programs are originally designed in Iowa, they're very hands-off, really, from a state government perspective. They don't try to be very prescriptive about the most effective way to make this happen, and it does look to the expertise of the entity that is ultimately designated as the lead philanthropic entity, which presumably would be an organization that is expert in building community foundations, per the requirements in the bill. It looks to them to set up some of those parameters and design something that will be most effective. Now, it does diminish in some way the state's control, and that's a balance, but I think it looks to that expertise. And so, no, this is not written as a ranking where number one is more important than number two and continuing down the list.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it's not intended as a ranking, I don't know what's going to happen to this bill here, but somewhere along the line, I think that we might, or that you might want to redraft it so it doesn't look so much like a ranking, because that's certainly the way I understood it when I first looked at it. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one hard question that I promised. Because I don't want to be a rollover. So I believe that when somebody else has an idea that we take, we should give them credit. So do you have any problem calling this Endow Iowa?
No preference, Mr. Chairman.
And there is a one point, I think, not that it's been missed, but it's been a short hearing. This both protects communities in the way that everybody has said around the table, but, and I don't know if you want to amplify on this, my experience with this is it also protects families. So you, I have a very good friend who passed away whose daughter ended up working for me here and recently graduating from the same law school as her mom and very recently naming her new baby after her mom 3 months ago. Emily McCoy is the aide. But when Suzanne passed away, the family didn't have enough money to create an endowment that would do all these wonderful things. It's just they didn't have that kind of money. But with these community endowments, they could add their money to the community endowment. And then another family can add the money to the community endowment, and all of a sudden great things can happen, whereas one family can't do it on their own.
And well, like when two little guys like Gates and Buffett get together.
Right. Yeah, a little bit like that. When it's McCoy and Guerra, it's the endowment's a little smaller. But anyway, I mean that is one of the positives of this, isn't it? That I mean, or do you want to comment on that at all?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guerra, I think that you're quite right that what this does is it creates a financial tool which will spin off funds that can be used to support priorities at the community level. It creates an opportunity for families to have a place to put funds to memorialize loved ones. If I can talk to you a little bit about what happened in Seward recently, it might be illustrative. You probably all received this year from the Rasmussen Foundation their Christmas card, and you looked at it, it might have been a little strange. It was sort of a colorful drawing of an older gentleman, and if you didn't have time to read in the fine detail, Rasmussen Foundation has been doing something similar to this in recent years, where they've been helping community foundations get off the ground by offering them challenge grants. They also offer them some technical assistance and other things that we're not envisioning in this program. But Seward was able to put a community foundation in place. They had the community conversation in the fundraising as they were raising their matching funds to meet their challenge grant. And then a gentleman in their community who, as I understand it, people did not realize had financial assets at any great level, passed away and left $1.9 million to the Seward Community Foundation, which had not existed, 30 months prior to that. Really changes what can happen in a community when you have a vehicle there that can help retain the wealth that's generated by its residents, both of modest means and less modest means. And I think, Representative Soltz, you may have said that, your community may actually be more giving on a person-by-person basis than some larger communities, and that's actually oftentimes the case, and it's something that's noted in charitable giving, and I think in the example of Iowa, I believe you have in your packet some metrics about the successes of the Iowa program, but they went from having just a handful of community foundations to having more than 130 in the first few years that their community was in place, and their assets went into the hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was all built on local conversations about what you can do to invest in your own community. Now, Representative Guerra, I may not have answered your question, but maybe that demonstrates a little bit of the potential.
I think it does, but then it lets families pool the money together that's where they can't do something with their own money. When it gets pooled, then all of a sudden significant things can get done.
Representative Edgman, just a real quick question. Is community development defined in statute?
Is community development defined in statute? Representative Edgman, I don't know the answer to that. I do know that Scott Ruby's here from DCCED, and he may know the answer to that question.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to Representative Dugan's question, in reference to the ranking, the word using ranking, everything is written what everybody thinks they want to do, and then we come back and we have a conversation here about what we really mean. And using the word ranking was just from the legal beagles that drafted this. It could say evaluating applications for awards, grants, and it could say when evaluating applications for grants, the board could, and then by putting the word may in there instead of shall, maybe reaches the goal that the committee is looking at.
Just and before we go to the testimony, just a quick question. We've had issues on larger endowments like United Way. Everybody remembers the William Ira May scandal and how much he was making and then the Golden Parachute written in.
until Governor Lingo came in Hawaii, the bishop, state trustees, where that was one of the biggest political plums you could have, and that's been since reformed. You see, we have to have a public embarrassment until before. And it'd be nice to forestall that and not have this be a be a creator of big salary jobs, because I think that's I'm not suggesting that's your intent. I think that'd be the exact opposite, knowing what your values are, Representative Osterman. But how do we? I don't know how to write that in there.
There's a cap.
Okay.
5%.
5%. Okay.
And yeah. Representative Schultz, if I may, I believe online is Ken Kastner, who's a representative of the Homer Community Foundation, and he testified in the previous committee about what's involved in actually running one of these organizations, and I believe they do it on a volunteer basis in Homer, and you might find his comments.
I think I've heard from that guy on other issues, unless charitable forums on fishing issues, but we'll leave those off the table today, and some of the blogosphere comments, but we'll leave that there. I won't bring those up. Another thing we're not going to talk about. We'll go to Ms. Kaplan, the Rasmussen Foundation, here at our invitation. I want to note that because they have a structure. They don't actively engage or lobby. They're here because we specifically invited them. Ms. Kaplan?
I hope she can talk about fishing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very pleased to comment on the legislation before you, the Endow Alaska Grant Program. As was referenced earlier, Rasmussen Foundation several years ago, working with the Alaska Community Foundation, began a program sort of like is proposed here, but as was also mentioned, more focused on helping communities develop the capacity to have a fund like has been referenced here. And what we did was bring a lot of people who have had experience like this around the country to Alaska, and we invited about a dozen communities from all around Alaska to come in, learn about community foundations, and then if there was a core group of individuals, and they generally have to be people who are identified as philanthropic in their community, if there was such a group that wanted to come together and initiate a fund, we made assistance available, including re-granting funds that they could give away so they could learn how to be good grant makers and learn how to review proposals and run a process, and also money to match funds that they would raise locally. We invested $700,000 over 4 years, and to date that has generated a total of $4 million in assets at community foundation funds in Chalkeetna, Petersburg, Haynes, Kenai, Seward, and also Juneau and Homer, who have a standalone fund that are affiliated with the community foundation as well. Subsequent to that, Bethel and Barrow started their own foundations supported by local institutions, and they also have taken advantage of the information, technical assistance, and training. And we've had a very strong interest from at least six or eight other communities. Today I saw from Palmer, that group that's come together, Fairbanks, Kodiak, Sitka, Ketchikan, and others as well. So we really applaud Representative Osterman and his staff for taking the time to learn about how this works, proposing that the state be involved. And we intend to also increase our involvement and provide matching funds as well if the state goes ahead. So we see this as really something that is urgent for the legislature to consider. And the reason is there are Tony Rollos all over Alaska, not just in Seward. No one knew that Tony Rollo had any money. He drove a car with duct tape on it. He ate a free lunch at the Seward Senior Center every day. He sat and used the library every day. No one knew he had any money or assets at all. And if he had not had that vehicle of the Seward Community Foundation, his estate would have gone to the State of Alaska General Fund, which I know everybody would like to have more money in the State of Alaska General Fund, but he could never have realized his dream of supporting the community that he loved. So that is really it, is having these vehicles available so that when people have a close relationship with a local community, they have a means to support that community in the years after they're not around. So, again, we stand ready to work with the legislature and the community foundation and seeing this be successful, and we applaud you for taking up this important piece of legislation at this time. Thank you.
Diane, are you still up in the Privilofs or the
No, I just got back last night, miraculously.
enjoyed your postings, so I felt like I was on the trip without having to endure the trip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Diane. I'm still having trouble trying to connect. It sounds like you're already doing pretty much what this program does, so could you help me just to understand what you see this legislation doing that you currently are unable to do?
Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, that's a great question. What we've found is that people are very attached to the very local area where they live. So, for example, someone who has lived in Eagle River a long time and really feels attached to Eagle River, identifies as an Eagle River resident, wouldn't necessarily feel okay about donating money to an Anchorage Community Foundation, even though Eagle River is part of Anchorage. They would really want to make sure that their assets went directly to the community where they lived. And I would guess, just using your area as an example, I'm not sure North Pole residents would feel fine about giving money to a Fairbanks Community Foundation and then hope some of those assets would trickle down to North Pole. They would probably want a fund that they would know, if they left their assets to it, would support specifically organizations in North Pole, and there would be people in North Pole making the decisions on where those dollars go. And if you look at it that way, there's a really urgent need to scale this up in a major way, so probably 20, 30, 40 more communities might be good candidates for a community fund. And that's why our new initiative would fund perhaps three over the next 3 or 4 years. And I think if the legislature were good enough to participate as well, I think you could expand that greatly. And there's definitely the interest in communities around the state to do so.
It's as if you were channeling for Representative Wilson. Representative Wilson?
So I just want to make sure I understand. So they can become community. They can do this organization with or without the bill. But this would help bring more funding so that they would have a start versus just the organization portion of it.
Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, I can't explain what the psychology is of it, but there's something about a challenge grant that gets people motivated. And any of you who have watched public TV or listened to public radio know when they say we have a match and it's in place for the next 20 minutes, call now, people tend to get organized and get moving. They're great incentives to get communities to come together. And that's really, I think, what the Challenge Grant does, is it gives organizations, communities, an incentive to get organized and get moving so they can take advantage of the challenge that's in front of them.
Perfect. And I just want to say thank you. Your organization has done so much for the state, and I just want to let you know that we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Representative Thomas.
Diane, I was thinking that the Click and Give program would be a way that people can give money to these organizations and have input. And, you know, they can use that. Let's say they get $15,000 or $20,000. They can use that money to match on this program here then, right?
Mr. Co-Chair, yes, that's actually true. All of the existing community funds are listed on Pick, Click, Give, and they all, I think, had major growth from year to year over last year. So that is absolutely true. And the Alaska Community Foundation, who I think is envisioned as the lead agency here, has done an outstanding job in working with these local communities to take advantage of Pick, Click, Give. In many cases, the local community foundation has put out postcards and other information, run advertising to promote the local organizations that are eligible for Pick, Click, Give in their areas.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Kaplan? Thanks a lot, Diane. Oh, we do have Representative Fairclough, and then we'll go on to Ms. Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kaplan, on page 3 of the bill, we're talking about a 5% cap for administrative purposes. Is that something that's doable?
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, I think Candace Winkler could best answer that question. It seems like a very low number to me, but we wouldn't be running it here, but it seems like a pretty modest number. So I think if they're willing to do that, that would be a pretty good deal, because it would take a lot of the real time goes into helping the communities get prepared to be successful at raising money and learning how to be good at identifying needs in their communities and effectively making grants. So all of that would be things that the Community Foundation would have to be outside the funding source you're creating. And they do an excellent job of that.
Thank you, Ms. Kaplan. That's my thought, too. That I understand why we're trying to keep it low, but actual administrative costs for some organizations run between 12% and 22%. So there's a wide range of admin costs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Thomas.
Yeah. Diane Bill again here. And you know, I keep my Facebook up with the Pick, Click, and Give, and we have a real critic up there, Annie Iowa or something like that. He's one of the Republican district guys, and he says, just another way to rip off the people to pay high salaried waged people. You have to look at my Facebook and see this guy gets on there. Every time I post what Pick, Click, and Give is doing, he comes out and he says, you know, this is nothing but a ripoff to keep the high salaried people in the nonprofits working.
I think all the parties, major and minor, have their crosses to bear.
Yeah, but I just thought, well, anyway, I won't say what.
With no commentary,
yeah,
on the table.
Yeah. Anyway, if you get to look at it, you might send him a note till then.
Okay. We'll go to Ms. Winkler next.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yep. Loud and clear. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sure. I'm Candace Winkler, and I'm the president and CEO of the Alaska Community Foundation. And we're a statewide community foundation that works to increase philanthropy and build community throughout the state. And as Diane testified, we have been kind of working on developing an affiliate structure and working to develop community foundations throughout the state in partnership with the Rasmussen Foundation for the last 4 years. So we feel like we have some good experience in this area. And what we have found is that this is a real pragmatic way to incentivize and grow both individual philanthropy, but also a way to really help engage community members in envisioning a future for their community and in really coming together to prioritize needs and opportunities within their communities. So I am testifying in support of House Bill 290 in Dow, Alaska. We believe that Alaskans do understand the value of permanent endowments. We have the permanent fund as part of all of our lives. And we can see how those funds that were set aside at one point in time in history, you know, really have been able to be used for good things, you know, every year. And that, I think, is the power of permanently endowed funds. I think we also recognize the importance of Alaskans of local control and guidance. I think it's been mentioned multiple times that people throughout our state really identify with their local community and really feel more of an opportunity to be engaged to think about the future of, you know, the community that they care about and where they live. And I think that House Bill 290 helps to address both of these issues, the goal of creating permanent assets for communities, but also recognizing the local control and guidance. Just to give you a bit of context about the Community Foundation, the Alaska Community Foundation, for those of you who aren't familiar with us, we are 16 years old. We currently hold $55 million in assets. That is over 280 different funds, including our five affiliates that have been mentioned, the Seward Community Foundation, Petersburg, Kenai, Talkeetna, the Chilkat Valley, and it also includes some partner funds from the Homer Foundation, the Juno Foundation, the Arctic Slope Community Foundation, as well as the Alaska Children's Trust and many other family foundations. I appreciate the comments from Representative Guerra regarding the establishment of local community funds and the opportunity that they then provide, like the Tony Rollo example, but for many people in a community to give in small ways or large ways back to the communities that have given so much to them. I, at this point, will end my more formal comments and be available for any questions.
Representative Edgman.
Yes, just real quickly again. I asked earlier about the need to maybe have community development defined, but from your perspective, in terms of being a non-for-profit and IRS designation and whatnot, is there any advantage or is there any need maybe to have that, given that this is a state program defined in law, again, the term community development?
I personally don't see any need for that. I mean, I do think the work that our affiliate communities, community foundations, and the other community foundations throughout the state that we work with are doing is community development. You know, I think what they are doing is, you know, a group of people from the community are really looking at the needs and opportunities today, but also in the future, and are, you know, creating a vision for their community. They are raising funds, and they are then making determinations about the best place to invest those funds. So I'm not sure if it's necessary. I mean, I think that's probably a question for you all to answer if you feel like there's a need from the legislature to define that.
I'm through the chair, I'm getting a sense that there probably isn't in terms of having that definition, but I'm just wondering, and maybe I can talk with the bill sponsor or his staff off the side, whether that would be maybe an additional safeguard to put in there in terms of any tax consequences down the road.
Ms. Winkler, there was a question that was deferred to you by Ms. Kaplan about the percentage amounts. She punted that one to you. Do you have a...
Right. You know, I think it's very hard without any fiscal note to understand whether a 5% cap would be adequate. You know, if the appropriation is a large appropriation, then I think you happen, for instance, in Iowa, I mean, if you were talking about making a $3 to $5 million commitment and having those funds set aside so that many different communities were able to take advantage of those funds, then I think the 5% cap, you know, would be sufficient. I think, you know, if you're talking about doing more of a one-year kind of annual appropriation at this point in time, that was a much lower dollar amount, then, you know, I do have concern about the 5% cap.
Okay. Representative Kirkliff, and then we're going to squeeze in the last testimony from the fellow from Homer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Winkler, what is your current admin cost for the Alaska Community Foundation?
For the Alaska Community Foundation, because we have such a large endowment as part of our portfolio, our actual admin rate is quite low in comparison to our overall asset base. You know, it's actually about 1%. You know, when I look at our overall sort of operating costs, we come in more at about 15%.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's my understanding of, and that would be what you would bill some of the 280 funds that are under your care?
No, the 280 funds are all, you know, depending on the makeup of the fees. I mean, the fees are much lower than that.
Okay.
That's we'll not necessarily administering a program.
Thank you very much, Ms. Winkler. We've got about 2 minutes for Mr. Kastner.
I won't waste a second then. My name is Ken Kastner. I'm with the Homer Community Foundation. The board asked me to provide some testimony. We certainly support the bill. This is money that serves a lot of different purposes when it goes directly into an endowment. We have a federally required public support test, and every dollar that we get from government goes directly to meet that public support test. I'd have to say that the word development in the title is a little troublesome because when you think about development, you think about something that's associated with growth, and I think there's probably a better term, although I can't suggest it right at this time. Our experience with small town endowments, we get to a tipping point, and in Homer we've reached that tipping point. We get to a place where all of a sudden we have as much money as we wanted when we started the endeavor, and we just completed the city grants program, which is part of our annual work here. The city of Kachemak and the city of Homer both have endowments at the Homer Foundation, and we just awarded $34,500 in support grants to nonprofits that can be used for their operational costs. On top of that, we will hand out probably another $170,000 this year in other charitable grants. So our $2.5 million endowment, and we have $200,000 more with the Alaska Community Foundation. The earnings from those funds are doing a lot now for our community, and I suspect I'm pressing against my 2 minutes.
Any questions for Mr. Kasser? Hearing none. Is there anybody else in the public wishing to testify? Do we have anybody else online? Anybody here in the audience? We'll close public testimony, but certainly we will reopen it if there's folks that will help facilitate our understanding of this bill. And we will we have some proposed amendments, and we have a we've worked on an updated fiscal note that removes some asterisks, and we will set this bill aside and adjourn our meeting until 1:30 to continue our discussion on education issues. And just give a little warning, we may try to extend into the afternoon and see if some of the bills previously heard, see if we can facilitate movement out of the committee. With that, we're staying in adjournment until 1:30. Thank you,
Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.